If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew 25. We'll get started there. Use that as a launching point, at least, in just a few minutes. Matthew 25. We're thankful that you're with us. We have guests among us. We're honored that you've come to be with us. We want to extend to you a special invitation. Come back and worship with us, okay? If you're looking for a place of worship, we hope that you feel, I found it. Even today, I found it. And you just come back and be a part of our services every time the doors of the building are open. We'll do anything we can to help you in your walk with the Lord. We'll do anything we can help you to help you in your personal life. You're among people who care about you. You'll be a great encouragement to us. So think about coming and being a part of our services every time the doors are open. Mars Hill, there are some special people in our midst today. You know what that means, don't you? Don't you? Okay, all right. Wake up. Wake up. This isn't Silver Dollar City now. Wake up. That's getting going. Hasn't it been a wonderful 2 weeks? I'm just as exhausted as I can be. It hadn't slowed down for me since Tuesday night. And the end of vacation Bible school. I'll admit to you, I'm tired, but I also know it's been a wonderful 2 weeks. Wasn't the Gospel Crusade really something enjoyable? We have news for you. We met again yesterday as kind of an evaluation time of what we did and how we can improve and deciding whether we even want to try to have it to continue that. It's going to continue at least one more year. The dates for the 2018 are July the 8th through the 13th. So you can mark that down so you can schedule your vacation on top of it or something like that. You know how all of those kind of things work, the preacher said facetiously. But it's July the 8th through the 13th, okay? And you'll want to be looking forward to it. There'll be other news about it coming along later as the theme is determined and the speakers or however they're going to do it, all of that is set up. As that's taken care of. But go ahead now and mark your calendars for 2018. It's July the 8th through the 13th. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful. And I want to thank all of you who made it so successful. Many, many of the members of this congregation played a big role in making it special. And I want to thank you for that. And then we went right into our vacation Bible school, one of the better schools that we've ever had, in my opinion, if not the best. We started on Sunday afternoon with attendance in the 160s and climbed every night after that until on Tuesday evening, 213 of us. Roger said 212, but one more slipped in and we counted that one, okay? So 213 of us, and just a great school, and all of you worked hard on that. Thank you. All of you deserve a great thanks. We appreciate you very, very much for helping us out and for the hard work that you've done. Folks, you just plant a little. You plant a little seed now, and you wait. You just keep planting along. I mean, that's kind of the way I do in my garden. I plant a little this week, and in a week or so, I'll plant a little bit more, and that way I'm harvesting all along. But I don't get a harvest from that seed I planted today. It's weeks out. It's weeks out before I'll see any kind of harvest over that. You plant a little now. You plant a little now. But if God's true to His Word, and we know that He will be, right? If God is true to His Word, there will be a harvest of that. There will be a harvest of that. So you just got to faithfully plant, faithfully do what we're supposed to do, and God will faithfully take care of His end of it, won't He? He'll faithfully take care of His end of it. And we know that there'll be a harvest that comes out of that. So thank you for your faithful planting. We appreciate it a great deal. I want us to think this morning in terms of every contribution counts. Now, before you go to sleep or before you say, uh-oh, this was not for me, let's go. He's going to be talking about money. Folks, you ought to give. You ought to give your money. You ought to give your money. Here's the way we ought to live our lives. I'm just telling you, this is Bible. Here's the way we ought to live our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. And thank Him for it. And if He gives us extra, what should we do with it? Well, hoard that stuff up, right? Lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust can corrupt it, where thieves who can break through and steal it. That's what we ought to do. Well, that's not what your Lord said. Your Lord said, and the Word of God says, we take that which we have over and beyond our daily needs, and we invest that in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because after all, doesn't your Bible say you came into this world with nothing? And it's the truth. You'll leave with nothing. Right? Right? So you better be investing in heaven. That's the only place, that's the only thing you're going to find there. Okay? It's what you invested. That's all we've got to look forward to. So Jesus would say, so lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot corrupt, and where thieves can't break through and steal it. You ought to be giving. You ought to be giving. Jesus said, according to Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse number 35, it's more blessed to... Yeah, we know it, but we don't believe it, do we? It's more blessed. I like the receiving end of it more than I do the giving end of it. How about you guys? When it's more blessed to give than to receive. You ought to be giving your money, folks, but there are a lot of other ways to contribute, aren't there? And every one of those contributions, they count. Jesus said one time that if you give a cup of cold water in my name to one of my disciples, it'll be remembered. It counts. A cup of cold water. Come on. Now, yesterday afternoon, I would have appreciated that. Cup of cold water, though, how much that cost? Well, that's minimal. It's not the cost. It's the contribution. And there are all kinds of ways that we contribute. Every contribution counts. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, Jesus gave the account of a landowner, a man who was traveling into a far country, and he delivered his goods to his servants. And one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another 1. Now the talents that he's referring to there, obviously, they're monetary. He gave them some of his money and said, hey, here, invest it. I mean, even if you look at the word in the Greek, it's monetary. But it has application to all other aspects of our lives. The talent there, we can think about it as being, yes, the money God has given us. But there are other things that God has given us. He's blessed us with gifts and abilities. And every one of those, they matter. They count to God. He's invested in us, and He expects a return on His investment, if you want to think about it like that. Every one of them count. Think about it this way. Talents are God-given. This is the very illustration that Jesus is giving here. Is, hey, God has set a time, and in that time it's like a man who's taking a trip into a far country, and he's given his servants talents, gifts. This was monetary, but talents, gifts, abilities in addition to that. And in that time, between when the Lord went back to heaven, right, and the time he returns from heaven to earth, in that time frame, he expects his investment to reap him gains. Well, he gave 1 5. And upon returning, Jesus said, the one that had 5 said what? You gave me 5 and I've gained 5 more, right? He gave 1 2. You gave me 2, I've gained 2 more, right? He gave one talent, right? But that one talent, man, hid his in the ground, right? No return on the investment. And because there was no return, there's a condemnation pronounced upon that individual. God's given every one of us. One of the points I want us to draw from this right here is that God has given to every one of us a talent, ability, a gift. It may be one, but it is one. It may be that God has blessed you with 2. Maybe he's blessed you with 5. But he has blessed you. Every one of us in this auditorium, he has blessed with a talent, an ability, a gift. I mean, in verse number 15 there of Matthew chapter 25, he gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Look at this phrase. To every man. Now, how many is left out? To every man. How many is left out? Which man's left out? There's not one. To every man. And he says that God gave to every man according to his several ability. God knows us. He created us. And he knows what we're capable of. And so he gives us talents and abilities according to our ability. According to every man's several ability. And so our responsibility is to find that talent, to find that ability. You say, well, I don't know what mine is. I don't know. Then ask someone who knows you really well. Who knows you really well? What am I good at? What do you see as my talent and my ability? And then listen. As they tell you, you are really strong in this area right here. You are really strong. As we said in a meeting yesterday, and we were discussing different aspects of the gospel gathering, and we're looking toward next year, and one of the matters came up. And in the course of that, he said, you know, there's someone who's not in this meeting today that's their talent. And we all recognized it. As soon as it was mentioned, you know, that's exactly right. And I've known that man since he was a teenager. And they're exactly right. That's his gift. That's his ability. He's better at that than anyone else I know. He may not recognize it. I think he does because he does it so much. But if he didn't recognize it, no one ever said, hey, you're really strong in this. This is an ability that you have. God has blessed you with it. What do we have that God didn't give us? Well, I developed this. No, you didn't. God gave you that ability. Now, we can grow in that ability, right? To a 5-talent man, he said, you gave me 5 and now I have 5 more. But who even blessed him with the growth? God did. God did. So find your talent. Talk to someone. Ask them, hey, what do you see me as being strong in? What area am I gifted in? Find it. And then once you find it, before I just leave that, you know, sometimes we just have to try and fail. Have y'all ever heard that failure is one of the greatest teachers we can ever have? It's when we're afraid of failing. Barely says, that's just, David, that's just one thing I've always known about you. You're not afraid of failing. Because I failed in a billion things. I can tell you I've failed in a ton of more things than I've ever been successful at. But I'm not afraid of failing. I'm not afraid. Because so what? If I fail, that's just because God didn't give me the ability in that area. I shouldn't have been in that. But I didn't know till I tried. Don't be afraid to fail. We all fail from time to time. We're not perfect. So don't be afraid to fail. And sometimes it means that we've just got to say, I wonder if this is what God intended for me to do. Here's the way I've always looked at it. If a door of opportunity opened, maybe God opened that door for me. So I step in. If he didn't mean for me to be there, he'll slam that door shut. He opens and he closes, doesn't he? He opens and he closes. And if he closes that door, there's always another one. I've never had to sit around wondering, well, I don't have a thing to do for the cause of Christ. It's always troubled me that members of the body of Christ have problems finding anything to do for the cause of Christ. You're just not looking. There's plenty to do. You've been commissioned. It's okay. Go do it. You've been commissioned, right? We call it the great omission. No, commission, right? We call it the great commission. So just try. Just try. And when you find it then, when you find that you have an ability, that you have a talent, that you have a gift in that area, praise God for it. Don't use your time saying, well, he blessed me with one. Why didn't I get five? Thank God for the one. And use that one then. Praise God for it. Use that one, and maybe instead of at the end of time, it being said, well, you had one and you didn't use it. Depart you slothful and wicked servant. You won't hear that. Well, you gave me one. I used it to the best of my ability. You blessed me maybe even with one more now. Well done, right? Isn't that what we want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But what happens is so many of them say, well, you know, I can't do what so-and-so could do. God gave you the ability you have. He knows you. And he gave that other person the ability they have because he knows them. And he didn't give us talents and ability so that we can compare each other with each other. He gave it to us so we can just use them. Use them. So understand, God's given you an ability now. He has. You may need to find it. But he's given you an ability. And if he gave it to you, you can find it. You can find out what it is. Here's something else to remember. God does not value one talent over another. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me see if I can find that for you. Quickly, I just want to read this for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This has to do with those miraculous gifts of the Spirit. God gifted some people in that first century with those miraculous gifts, but he's still gifting people, just not miraculously. We know that. But if it's true of those miraculous gifts, what about the gifts he gives us today? Listen to this. Verse 4. He says, now there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Here's the point. All talents come from the same source. All gifts come from the same source. They all came from God. Now, how valuable does that make the talent that you've received? Because you've received one, or two, or five. How valuable is that? It came to you as a gift from God. Isn't it interesting how we value gifts? We put a dollar value on gifts. Do you know one of the, I probably told you this before. One of the most precious gifts I ever received in my life, I received from my oldest daughter when she was 4 years old. I wish I still had it, but I can tell you I don't. But I'd been gone for a week. And I don't know exactly how. I like to think, she's not in here, so I'd like to think that Beverly said, "Daddy's coming home." Now maybe she said, "Daddy's coming home." I'd like to think, though, she said, "Daddy's coming home. He'll be home at such and such time tonight." Man, I flew into Little Rock. They met me at the airport. We rode home. It's late. Of course, the flight's always late. It's late when we get in, but all the way home, Crystal was saying, "Daddy, I got something special for you. I got something special for you when we get home. I got something special for you." Now, I'd been in Latin America, and in those days, here's what you ate. For breakfast, you had beans and rice. For lunch, you had a different meal. You had rice and beans. And in the evening, you had beans and rice again. Man, I couldn't wait for something good, I'm telling you. But it's late at night. No, I don't want to be eating this late. "I got something nice for you, Dad. I got something special for you." When I get home, she had made me a jelly bean cake. Just jelly beans stuck together. I said to her, "Sugar, that's nice. That's nice. We'll eat that tomorrow." And she teared up and she said, "But Daddy, I made it just for you." I ate a jelly bean cake that night. Why? And I'm telling you, to this day, it's one of the most precious gifts I've ever received in my life. Because it came from someone who loved me more than just about anybody else I know. And she still does. How about God? Does He love you? And He gave you a gift. They all came from the same source, folks. They all came from God. They all came from God. And every one of those talents given is necessary. God didn't just go out and say, "Hey, I love you. I'm going to give you something. Here, here, here." No, He didn't work like that. If He gave you a talent, it's because He needs you to use that talent. It's necessary. It's critical that you use it. Or He wouldn't judge you if you don't. Right? Why would he hold a one talent man accountable for not using the one talent if it wasn't important that one talent man use it anyway? No, it's vital. It's vital that we use that. It's necessary. The work of the Lord can't be done to the degree that it must be done, should be done, needs to be done, if every one of us aren't using the talent and abilities that God gave us. And thirdly, this chapter, I'm just going to remind you, in this chapter, He talks about, hey, He used the illustration of a body, and He says, you all want the same gift, huh? Well, what if the whole body were one member? Where would be the body? For instance, if the whole body were a mouth, well, I like to be the mouth. I like to be the spokesman. If the whole body were the mouth, and it's just a mouth now, it's laying here on the floor, it's talking up a storm, boy. It's using its talent, but the whole body were a mouth, where could that mouth go? Nowhere, because there's no legs, no feet. How could that mouth eat? No hands, no arms. If the whole body were an eye, the whole body were an ear, where would then be the body? It takes every one of those. Every one of them. And His point is that there's not one of them any more valuable or any less valuable than the other. God gave you that gift, that talent, that ability, to be used because it's critical that you use it. If you don't, the body's not the body. Oh, it may go on. It may go on, but it's limping. It may go on, but it's handicapped because one of its members is not functional and is not functioning. So your talent, understand, is no less or no more important than any other. I'll hurry on through the rest of this, but I keep going back to that gospel gathering. When we were talking about and planning in a hurried state this year for the gospel gathering this year, one of the things we wanted to, it came up, we want to do is we want to have greeters. We want to have greeters at the door. And later, I think it was me who said, you know what? There's one of the most important roles at this gospel gathering are those people standing at that door greeting. And I'll tell you what ran through my mind. Have y'all seen the video of this guy, the Walmart greeter, who when people come in, bam! I remember the first time I saw it, I said, I wish he was a member at Mars Hill. And then I thought, wait a minute, we got her. Don't we? We got her. But doesn't that guy make you feel good, like you're wanted? Welcome to Walmart. We hope you find everything you need at Walmart. We hope your visit at Walmart is special. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know. I wish he was here. I don't know whether that brother, I don't know whether that individual is a brother in Christ or not. But I'm going to tell you, he's valuable to Walmart, isn't he? He's valuable to Walmart. And if he's not using that same talent for the cause of Christ, that's a shame. Amen? That's a shame. You guys who served as greeters, you say, well, I didn't get to do the speaking. Well, I didn't get to lead any singing. Well, I didn't get to lead a prayer. You had one of the most valuable roles at that gospel crusade. I'm going to tell you why. Because even today, you come into this auditorium as a guest. If I came into this auditorium as a guest and no one spoke to me, or the people on the same row, they recognize I've never been here before. They didn't say a word to me. I'm not coming back. Now, I'm just telling you from my perspective, and I love you. I know you. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm not coming back. Listen, God gave me an automobile. I can be anywhere in this state in 2 hours. And I'll find me a congregation where I will feel at home. Well, I will feel welcome. Do you know how important you are? You're critical. I said I'd hurry, so okay, we'll hurry. All right, here's the God expects you to use your talent. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. I'm just going to read verse 10 to you. It says, "Every man, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister or serve the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I might as well read 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." He's giving illustrations of gifts, of this gift. If he's got the gift of speaking, let him do that as oracles of God. If a man is a servant, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whatever your talent is, God expects you to use it. And whatever it is, use it to the glory of God. Find it, praise God for it, and use it. And use it. Here we go. God doesn't want you to misuse your talent, of course. He doesn't want you to misuse it. It's possible for a talent to be misused. Do you know it's possible for even love to be misused? To be misused. I mean, Galatians 5, what is it, verse number 6? After talking about we've been set free, so don't use this liberty as an occasion for stumbling, right? Because the good news is, we've been set free. So now neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. But if it's all turned in the wrong direction, If it's misguided, it's a misuse of it. It's an occasion for stumbling. You got me? It's an occasion for stumbling. So don't misuse your talents. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, verse 25 and 26, that there should be no schism in the body or no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with that member that is honored. Wow. Don't use it. Use your talents. Yes, use your talents, I guess, in the right way, even in the advancement of material matters in your life. Hey, if you've got the gift of administration, you're probably going to be real good as an administrator. Gary, Thomas, you're going to be real good as an administrator. Use it. I'm not telling you don't use it for those things. Use it. Use it. Hey, if you got the gift of gab, which some of us do, hey, use it in material matters. Do y'all know I sold insurance for a while? I sold insurance for 1 year. I told a brother in Christ, I'll work for you 1 year. For sure, 1 year. Had to have a job. He trained me, put me to work. That year I made more money than anybody had ever made for that insurance company on a debit route. Y'all don't know what that means, and I don't want you to ever know. But I made more money than they had ever had anyone make. Gift of gab. It's a gift of gab. Use it. I'm not telling you don't use it for that, but absolutely use that talent for the care of the body of Christ. You got a gift for teaching school? Hey, I wonder if that could be carried over into the body of Christ. I'm just asking, what do you think? You think the gift of gab could be carried over? Yeah? I can talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Somehow I got that gift. I got that ability. I don't know where it came from. Think out of the Riley blood. God gave it to me. He did. Don't misuse it. Don't misuse it. Absolutely use it for the cause of Christ. Absolutely use it. Remember now, God holds us accountable for the use of our talents. Right? He holds us accountable for that. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. If you got it, use it. Right? You got it, use it. God gave it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the verses 2, we're stewards of that. We're stewards of everything that God has given us. He's given us for us, his investment. And we're his stewards. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He's just given a general statement. Whatever it is, if you're a steward over it, and you are if it's been given to you, and what hasn't been given to you? You're a steward of it. It belongs to God. You're a steward over it. And here's just the truth. Here's just the truth. It's required in stewards that man who is a steward be found faithful. So remember, you're a steward of what God has given you. And as a steward, be faithful with what God has given you. So let's kind of sum this thing up. We're through. God has blessed you with a talent. Maybe you don't know what it is right now. Find it. Find it. I've suggested to you ways to find it. Talk to people who know you real well. Try and fail. Hey, not anything wrong with that. Try and succeed when you succeed. Hey, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. You know, here's what I always said about me and leading singing. They asked me to lead singing a time or two. Hey, when I was a teenage boy, hey, David, lead singing. You know what? There's one great thing about the body of Christ, about the church of our Lord. If you're not good at it, they won't ask you a second time. Try and fail. There's nothing wrong with that. Try and fail. But find that talent. Once you find it now, thank God for it. Thank you, God, for blessing me with this. Now I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to do my best to use it the way you want me to use it. Remember, God has a reason for giving you that blessing. You're an important and vital cog joint. A cog in the gear system of the church. A joint in the body of Jesus Christ, his church. And then, folks, don't wait to be asked to use your talent. Well, someone says, well, I would have been using my talent, but nobody asked me. That's your talent. God gave it to you. Don't wait to be asked to use that talent. You're the steward of it. You're the one that's going to be held accountable for whether or not you were faithful with it, right? You're the steward of it, so find a way to use it. You know, there's one thing about the body of Christ, the church of our Lord, is when you volunteer, be careful, because sometimes it's for life, right? I tease about our Bible school system. You know, you become a teacher in the Bible school program of the Lord's church, there's only two ways to get out. Die or quit. And we don't want either one of those, right? But a lot of times that's the way we use you. We'll use you up. But volunteer. Volunteer. It's your talent. You're the steward of it. So don't wait to be asked. Hey, I think this may be something I'm gifted at. Can I try that? Can I use that? Can I do that? Would you give me an opportunity? And as I said, if you're not good at it, they won't ever say, hey, boy, you're sorry at that. Don't do that anymore. They won't treat you like that. They just don't ask you anymore. They just don't. And that's the indication. Hey, maybe I need to move into another area. But we all got it. And we're all stewards, and we got to find it, then use it. And use it faithfully. Now this morning, we've just been encouraging one another to be good stewards of what we've been given. And we can all do better. I know I can. We can all do better. But we want to extend the invitation of our Lord. I keep reminding myself, it's not your invitation, David. It's not. I extended it just yesterday. You see, that invitation stands open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never takes a day off. It's the Lord's invitation. I extended it to a person yesterday. They declined. But it's not my invitation. They didn't turn me down. Who did they turn down? They turned down the Lord. And that's a whole lot more serious than turning David down. I can tell you that. But we want to extend the Lord's invitation. To you who aren't Christians, why not now? Don't say no to him again. Don't say no to him today at this opportunity. If you're not a Christian, become one. Let us help you become one in just the way the Word of God says. If you're here, you're a Christian. You are a child of God. You said yes to him before, but you have said no to him recently in your life now. And you've been on that path. Repent of that. Ask his forgiveness. Come home. Make things right. We'll help you with that too. If you stand in need of the invitation of our Lord in any way, we stand ready to help you. If you can let us know by stepping out at one of the aisles and making your way to the front, do that now as together we stand and sing.